Lost and Found. Found and Lost and Lost Found.
Hallo und willkommen zur Lost and Found Ausgabe im Mai 2020. Heute geht es nach Schottland. In der ersten Stunde besuchen wir die Distillerie Ochentoshan, gleich neben Glasgow gelegen. In der zweiten Stunde ab 1 Uhr morgens geht es dann nach Glen Ellerkey, die Distille von Billy Walker. Die Informationen von vor Ort gibt's alle im englischen Original zu hören. Ich wünsche viel Vergnügen beim Zuhören. Am Mikrofon und Technik Chris. Die Distillerie Ochentoshan befindet sich in Schottland in Glasgow, eher so am Stadtrand in Clydebank. Gut zu erreichen, falls ihr mal in Glasgow seid, mit dem Bus. Die Distille wurde 1823 gegründet und hat derzeit eine Kapazität von ungefähr 2 Millionen Liter Alkohol, die im Jahr gebrannt werden können. Ochentoshan gehört zu Beam Suntory. Andere schottische Distillen sind Bowmore, Glengarry, aber auch Laphroaig und Ardmore, die zu Beam Suntory gehören. Aktuell hat Ochentoshan eine sehr breite Range, was die Whiskys angeht, und Ochentoshan ist eine der wenigen Distillen, die damit Werbung macht, dass man auch Cocktails mit Whisky mixen kann. Und jetzt geht es direkt zur Führung in die Distille Ochentoshan. Aufgenommen wurde das Ganze an einem regnerischen Tag in Glasgow im Jahr 2019.
It's your tour, ask as many questions as you like. I will speak in my best Scottish English, so if I speak too fast or you don't understand, just ask me again and I'll repeat it.
What did you say?
This is going to be a good tour. Follow me and we'll learn how to make Ochentoshan whisky. So what they normally start with here is the map of Scotland divided into the five regions for producing single malt Scotch whisky. And the regions are the lowland region, of which Ochentoshan is a lowland whisky. They're here. You then have the Highlands, Speyside, the region of Campbelltown, and the region of Islay, or Islay as they call it in Scotland. And the characteristics of the whiskies tend to be that the lowlands are more delicate, unpeated whiskies. Once you get to the Highlands and Speyside, the water supply alone will run over granite and peat, and the whiskies tend to be a bit more robust. And then when you get to the Islands, and particularly Islay, you're going to get the heavily peated, very smoky, salty taste of the sea type whiskies. So if you were starting out on a whisky journey, I would usually suggest that you start in that order, do the lowlands, move on to your Highlands and Speyside before you even think of attempting to take some of the, particularly maybe Laphroaig is the one that everybody's heard about. So if you do it the other way around, it could put you off whisky for life, you know. So Ochentoshan, as I say, are here. They're owned by Beam Suntory, and Beam Suntory own five distilleries in Scotland. They own Bowmore and Laphroaig on Islay. Ochentoshan. This one here, which, believe it or not, is pronounced Glengarry, is the pronunciation. And there's another one here called Ardmore. Okay, so that's the five that they own in Scotland. The site here has always been known as being in the corner of a field. So the name Ochentoshan in Gaelic means that's what it means, the corner of the field. So that's where the name comes from. Okay. And any bottle of Ochentoshan you see in the world will have started right behind you in the mash tun there. So that's not for the tour, it's the actual working mash tun. Okay. A lot of the stills operated down in the lowland region until the government decided that they would make money from it and introduce taxation, and then needless to say, up they jumped to the mountains and the forests where they can make the spirit undetected as your moonshine, which you would get in Colorado. Same thing. So the distillery was, official birth date is 1823, but the chances are that it was here much, much longer than that. Okay. There's still, to this day, just under half of the distilleries in Scotland up in the Speyside area. So your McAllens, Glenfiddich, Glen Grant, all up in this area, Glenlivet. In fact, the area used to be called Glenlivet prior to being called Speyside. It became the longest glen in Scotland because Glenlivet became very famous very quickly. So needless to say, all the other distilleries in the region would have their name dash Glenlivet until they had to go to court to get them to take it off. Still a few today are allowed to use it as well. About 130 distilleries in Scotland at the moment, and it's growing all the time. There's a little boom in the malt whisky industry just now, so there are new ones springing up all the time. You've maybe heard of Talisker on Skye. There's a new one at Torabeg on Skye just down here. There's one on this small island next to Skye called Rassie, the Isle of Rassie. There's a new one on Arran. I was over in Arran yesterday at the Lochranza distillery, but they've got a new one down the south that's going to make a peated whisky as well. So new ones in the central belt. Rosebank's reopening, which will rival Auchentoshan because they're going to do triple distillation as well.
Okay. So why was Auchentoshan founded on this place? Is there a good source for water? Or
yes. The original water came from the Kilpatrick Hills, the hills you just see up here, the Loch Cochnell, but they now get it from Loch Katrin. Okay. Yeah, but it was a good place for water, yeah, and a good place for transportation as well, with the ship, the Clyde and all that kind of stuff. So great way to get the whisky around the world. Campbelltown, at one time prior to Prohibition in America, they were the major exporter to the USA. And around Campbelltown there would have been 37 distilleries at one point. And then Prohibition in America, allied to the taxation here, more or less killed the industry off. There's only four left, and they need four. Four is the minimum for regional status. So they're just clinging on to their regional status.
What's the number four?
What's
the number four?
So yeah, Springbank and Glen.
You mean what four is it?
Yeah.
You have Springbank.
Glen Scotia. Springbank, Hazeldene, and Hazelburn. Longrow. Hazelburn and Longrow.
Longrow is the same distillery.
Yeah, they are the same, but they've got three. I think that's how they keep on their regional status, basically. They split it into three distilleries. Pretty good. I don't think it'll ever recover. That will never recover. It's logistically too far out the way now to make a difference. And the other side of the coin is Islay, a relatively small island, but very soon we'll have 10 distilleries on it. Yeah. And all the smoky whiskies. You've got Bowmore, Laphroaig, Lagavulin, Ardbeg, Kalila, Bunahavan, Brookladdy, Kilhoman. The new one is called Ardnahoe. And Port Ellen is going to reopen as a distillery in its own right. So very soon, as I say, 10 distilleries. Great island to visit. The islanders are extremely friendly. You could probably get round the distilleries without driving, and take the drams as well, because if you're walking between the distilleries, the islanders, if they're driving by, will stop and say, "Where are you off to?" "We're going to the distillery." "On you go, we'll bring you. On you go, we'll take," and they'll drive you up there. So it's not a bad place to visit if you like your whisky.
So
Beam
Suntory is the owner?
Beam Suntory
don't interfere?
No, there seems to be very little interference. The owners were over just last week, but they don't seem to. They concentrate a bit more on Laphroaig at the moment. I think Laphroaig is the bigger name at the moment, so possibly they might move on to Auchentoshan, hopefully, but they don't seem to interfere in the production too much. They took over 1994. And then they incorporated Jim Beam in 2014. So that's the owners, if you like. But as I say, they don't seem to affect the distillery.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. So we'll move on to how they actually make the whisky. We can come around this way. Three basic ingredients to make whisky. You need barley, and it can only be barley that's used to make Scottish malt whisky. You can't use any other grain, so it must be barley that's used. The barley must be malted. So to malt the barley, they steep it in water for up to 3 days, tricks it into grow, it starts to grow shoots, the warmth of the water,
yeah.
and it gets to the point where we want it, so they've got to stop it at that point, and thereafter they remove it from the water and spread it out on what they call a malt house floor. This one's from Bowmore. And thereafter, the barley gets turned day and night every 4 hours for up to a week. Okay, and the traditional method of turning it was just with an old shovel or sheel, as they call it in Scotland.
That would be a fun job. Yeah, exactly.
or the other thing you had is most of the time it's done mechanically now by companies. There's only 7 distilleries do their own maltings now. Okay. But the old way, either that was a rake contraption that you had over your shoulder and you just dragged it through the barley. I had a shot at it. I wouldn't have liked to have did it for a week, for 7 days, you know, yeah. For every 4 hours. So thankfully they do it mechanically now most of the time. But after that, it gets dried out almost, oh, just on that point, there's a whiskey called Monkey Shoulder. Has anybody heard of that whiskey?
Yeah.
Do you know where the name comes from? The name comes from an injury caused by the turning of the barley. Yeah. Hi there. We're just on to making the whiskey here, so you'll catch up. So this is, after the malting company have done that, this is where the difference is between peated and unpeated whiskies. For Auchintoshan, if you imagine just a washing machine drum, they blow hot air through it. So it's only hot air that's used to dry out Auchintoshan barley. So there's no influence of anything else on it. The Highlands and some of the island distilleries, a lot of them will use peat. Okay, peat is compressed vegetation, compressed by gravity into the ground, and at a certain point it becomes ideal for using as fuel. It was used as for fuel in the homes in Scotland, but the now main thing they use it for is to smoke the whiskey, if you like. So in its natural state, there's no smell of it, but when you burn it, it gives off a blue pungent smoke. So the distilleries that use that, what they will do is they will put the peat into an oven or kiln. They set it on fire, and up above it, they will have a floor like this, and the smoke just goes up and permeates the barley. Okay, and it's a pretty strong smell that stays in the barley, so you should be able to tell.
So can you skip that step in the process for unpeated whiskies, or?
Yeah, you just wouldn't do that. Yeah. There you go. You should just have a smell. You should be able to tell. You should be able to tell the difference quite easily.
Comparing.
So you should be able to tell the difference fairly easily, and that's going in at the start. of the process. It's still to go through the mashing, fermentation, distillation, and that smell still comes through in the end. And they do it scientifically now. They call it parts per million, and they can grade how much they're using, so you get gentle peat, mid peat, heavily peated, all different flavours from the smoke as well. In days gone by, you would just have been bunging an amount of peat in there, you wouldn't really have had a consistent product. But now they can do it scientifically and get to a certain level, hopefully that everybody likes. So you can usually tell who's going to like peated whiskies watching them.
I don't like whiskies. You knew that as soon as
yeah,
I said
yeah, some people go, oh, some people go. Yep. So the malting company, once the barley comes here, we need water as well. The water, as I say, comes from Loch Katrine at the north of Loch Lomond. Feeds Glasgow's water supply, no influences on it whatsoever, so it's ideal for making a lowland whisky. You need yeast. Yeast is going to attack sugars and starches made by the barley in the water and get more alcohol. So the barley comes here, hopefully. So the barley comes here, goes into the mill house up above here. They remove any impurities, stones, etc. It will come down through this hopper. And then
this is the actual one?
Yes. Yeah. It will come down through this hopper, goes into a tank underneath, and it will. There's rollers in here, and they grind it down into what they call a grist. And all this does, it separates the light patches here, or the sugar starches that we want, and it separates them, makes it easier when it's mixed with water to create a nice sugary liquid, which is what we're going to look for. So for each production, just under 7 tonnes, about 6.85 tonnes of the grist is going to go into the mash tun. So it's going to get fed under a pipe, under here, comes up this pipe here, over the top, and once the first tonne, it will be mixed with 28,000 litres of water at 64 degrees centigrade. It takes about an hour. They will then put in 10,000 litres at 72 degrees centigrade, higher temperature. This will catch sugars and starches they didn't get the first time, and they will draw that liquid off and hold it for fermentation. They will then put in 20,000 litres at 90 to 95 degrees centigrade, and this will sterilise the barley. It will catch some sugars and starches. They will hold it in a tank on the other side there, and they will use that as the first one in the next day's production. Gives them a wee head start. What you're left with is what they call DRAFF, D-R-A-F-F, the barley residue. It's high protein, it's been sterilised, and they sell that off to the local farmers, and they can use it to feed cattle, sheep, etc. So the Highland cows that you see out in the field there will be getting some of this stuff, because they're owned by one of the workers here. So what we're going to take, we're going to have 35,000 litres of wort, as they call it, W-O-R-T, nice sugary liquid, but we're going to take through for fermentation, which is where we're going next. So if anybody wants to get a photograph or anything inside the mash tun, tun, just for your information, is just a Scottish word for tank or vessel. Okay. Today's rain is?
Tomorrow's whiskey.
Yay!
10 points.
So these are called washbacks, these vessels. These are the fermentation vessels. They're made of Oregon pine, or the actual species of the tree is Douglas fir. A tree that grows tall before the branches start. These are 6 metres deep, so they're right under the floor here, so they need that type of tree to get the staves without knots. They last about 40 years. This one here is 35 years old, number three, and the first one's about 4 or 5 years old. Traditional method of fermentation doesn't really impart a lot to the taste. You will get a lot of distilleries now just use stainless steel washbacks. A wee bit cold for me, I think the traditional method is better. So they will bring the wort through the stainless steel pipe at the back. It will go through a heat exchanger to take the temperature down to around about 20 degrees. If they brought it through at the temperatures through there, it would kill the yeast far too early. So they've got to take the temperature down. So they bring it through. When they're going to fill the washback, they attach a hose, as you can see in this one. They fill it from the bottom up, and as it's filling up, they will pour in 80 kilograms of cream yeast. 80 kilograms, yep. And this will create quite a violent reaction, and it does create a lot of carbon dioxide. And if you, there's just cleaning fluid in these at the moment, but if they were operating and you put your head too far in when you're having a smell, it gives you a kick like a mule and makes your eyes water. So you do need to be careful. So the carbon dioxide is a fountain of cost when I started here. Just have a smell. Whoa! So it gets extracted out through the roof there. And what we end up making here, our fermentation time is 57 hours, so about 2.5 to 3 days, and then we have a strong beer-like mixture of about 8% strength. Okay.
So where do you get the yeast from? Is it liquid yeast or?
Holland, England, England.
What is it? Is it liquid yeast or?
It's a cream yeast. It's a powdery yeast. So just a modified distiller's yeast.
Because I heard a lot of distillers using liquid yeast.
So they experiment, I think, with the yeast. So they were using a liquid yeast when I started here, and they're now going to a cream yeast. So different, they try different types to get the best reaction. So if it reacts too well, the reason they only bring 35,000 litres in, you can see they hold 38. They've got to leave a gap. If you filled it right to the top, it just comes over, even with the gap. Sometimes it comes over and you come in here and it's all over the floor. There's a big cleaning operation.
Nice smell in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lovely smell, certainly. Ours smells a bit like, some people say bananas, somebody said champagne. I get the champagne side of it, so that's not a bad recommendation. That's what it smells like. Taste-wise, it's pleasant on the first sip, but it's very sickly sweet after that. I'm saying you could only take one sip, but the workers in Scotland, the distillery workers, before health and safety, by law, were allowed a couple of drams of whisky legally during the working day. They would then get their own, obviously, as well, and thereafter they went to the pub at night and would have a good few more. So they came in the next morning with a sore head, and apparently the first thing they would do is take a big cupful of the Wash. Down that, not saying ready to start the ship. Whereupon they went through the whole thing again. So alcoholism, I think, was pretty rife in the distillery business. So health and safety saved a few people, I think. So after the 57 hours, we have the strong beer mixture that we're going to take through for fermentation. You can go up and have a look in these if you like. I say it's only cleaning fluid that's in them at the moment, so I'll leave it up to you whether it's worth it or not.
For sure.
You can see the size of them. If you even just look down here, you'll be able to see down, you'll see how big they are. All other whiskey at the moment in Scotland is double distilled. So you may go to a distillery that's got more stills. You may go to a distillery that's got 10 stills, for example, but they will all be operating in pairs. So they will all be operating in combinations of the wash still and the spirit still. So this is the only distillery at the moment that's doing the full triple distillation. So the wash will come through and start in the wash still here. You can see it holds 17,500 litres, so two batches will come through. Okay. Goes into the bottom of the still, heated up by steam heat, and the alcohol will burn off into a vapour, rises up the still, out through the line arm, and down into a condenser. And from the first one, we get what they call low wines. And it's only doubled in strength, so it's about 18% now. You lose the remaining thickness of any barley at that stage. It's called pot ale, and it can still be used to feed the animals, or sometimes used as fertilisers as well. You can have a wee smell at that. It's a wee bit fruity, not the most.
Bit like beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like beer.
Yeah, it's like an even stronger beer.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, it's going
Did
to.
You try that?
I haven't tried it. No, yeah, I haven't tried it. It's not for me. It's not ready yet to drink. So I didn't try it. So it's then going to move on. It will move on to the intermediate still. Same process, heated up into a vapour, out through the line arm and into the condenser. And from the second one, it's now risen up considerably. So it's up to 54% now, and it's looking a lot clearer. And it's beginning to smell a bit more like it. Still a bit of a way to go, but it's definitely smelling a bit more like it. What triple distillation is going to allow us to do is to take the spirit strength higher. With double distillation, you can only get to a certain level. Triple distillation allows you to take it higher, which is what we want here at Auchentoshan, but it also smooths the spirit out. So although it's strong, it's really, really smooth, and just a hint of sweetness too.
Was machst du da?
Ich bin auf einem Geisterkonzert.
Was?
Ja, ich habe mir gerade eine Karte gekauft. Für ein Konzert, das nie stattfinden wird. Bei der Kulturliga. Und damit unterstütze ich viele coole Läden und Einrichtungen. Außerdem geht ein Teil der Einnahmen an Seenotrettungsaktionen. Und ich kann in Gedanken mich auf die Zeit nach dem Shutdown freuen. Das mache ich gerade. Radio Z unterstützt die Kulturliga mit ihren Geistershows. Ticket kaufen, Radio anmachen. Tickets für die Geistershows gibt es unter kulturliga.de.
Ihr hört Lost and Found auf der 95.8 bei Radio Z. Wir sind unterwegs in der Brennerei Auchentoshan in Glasgow und befinden uns gerade im Stillhouse, wo der Whisky gebrannt wird, und bekommen so die verschiedenen Stufen der Brände zu sehen und zu riechen.
Bin ich ticker, ne? Ticker, danke. No, don't. So the stills are made of copper. The copper removes impurities as well. From the spirit. From the intermediate still, it will go through the spirit safe that you see here. And in here now, it is used for quality control, really. They test the quality and strength of the spirit in there. It's where they make the decision to get the final cut in there as well. So originally introduced by customs and excise or the tax people, it was always under lock and key, only operated with a tax man on the site, even to the extent of them maybe living on the site so they could cover shifts day and night. They didn't trust the distillers basically not to sell off any illegal spirit. It's now, with computer records and things, very difficult to get away with that kind of thing. So they now trust the distillers, and the still workers use that on their own without any supervision from the tax people. So quality control, really. So we'll go through here and then we move on to the spirit still. Same process, heated up into a vapour, out through the line arm, and from the last run, you will get runs of impurities. You've probably heard of your heads and tails, or faints as they call it. So the stills will remove sulphur from the spirit, so you get copper sulphide, this stuff here at the top, and you also get this stuff here, which is fatty esters, fusel oils, acids. Okay, so you will get a run of these for about 15 to 20 minutes on the first run. Then you'll get a run of the clear spirit. So from the 35,000 litres, we only get 10%. We only get 3,500 litres for each production, okay, of this stuff here. Okay, so that's now 81%. So from the final cut, it's the highest new make spirit in Scotland.
That's the spirit here. Yeah.
That's the spirit there. We can let you have a wee. So it's in here. Don't drink it, but if you want to try it,
why not?
Stick your pinky in there. It's actually quite interesting to try it. It's 81% alcohol, but you'd be very surprised when you taste it. I would have a try.
It's already the character of Auchentoshan.
Yes, it's got the Auchentoshan character in it, which is the smoothness and just a little hint of sweetness. Okay. I would have a wee try, personally.
Fruity.
Yeah. But it's not, for 81% alcohol,
yeah.
It's not.
It's not got a kick like you.
No. It's got a heat, you'll get heat. It's fruity.
Some pears.
Yep. And just and totally not what you'd expect from 81% alcohol.
And how does the last one smell?
How does the last one
smell?
This one?
No. The foreshots and the tail.
Oh, how does it smell? You want to smell?
Is it really bad?
No, not really.
Not really.
Oh. If you're only doing double distillation, you don't take out quite as much.
Yeah.
Of this, you know, your triple distillation removes more of it. So, and you know, a distillery that leaves or does double distillation will say that's they're leaving a bit of character in the spirit. That's where our whiskey's more robust, etc., etc. But for Auchentoshan, obviously, we're looking to make a more delicate, lowland whiskey. So we're quite happy to remove more of that. It gets used in fertilisers, and they're looking at biofuel. For it as well, so there's very little wastage now in the whole whiskey process. You'll see the barley earlier on gets used for the cattle. The pot ale can get used for that as well. Pot ale's like Marmite, Bovril here. I don't know, but is that dark?
Yeah,
like molasses. Yeah.
And a little sweet.
Yeah.
What kind of repairs are you doing right now, or is it just
they've repaired everything? So normally the stills, the copper gets thin, they last about 30 to 35 years, and the copper then gets very thin and they have to replace it. Normally what they did was they replaced the whole stills, but it's a big operation and they had to take the roof off the last time here. So what they do now, as you can probably see, is they will just remove the part that they, and they just weld it in and do it that way. So they don't remove the whole stills anymore. So the 81% spirit, we've achieved the, as you say, the Auchentoshan character, but it's too strong to put into the casks at 81%. You would lose far too much to evaporation, so it gets diluted down to 63.5. But even if you're doing double distillation, where you get to about maybe 72, they will still reduce it down to 63.5. It's the optimum strength for getting the best maturation from the casks. So we're going to go up to the warehouse and we'll see what happens when they put the 63.5 spirit into the cask.
Yeah,
so I'll grab one of these. Edra Dower were changing their stills, and they had a still with a big dent in it. Somebody had dented it, but it had been there for years. So when they were getting the new still made, they asked the manufacturer to make it with the dent in it. And that's how serious they take. Because they thought that would change the character of the whiskey if they took that away.
Wow. So, the coolers are in the back of the...
Yes, the coolers are down at the back wall, yeah. So take a nice smell when you come into the warehouse and you'll get your angel share, if you like.
And no smoking.
You wouldn't mind being locked in here, that's for sure.
They would have to climb in.
This one holds about 1,600 casks at the moment. If it's full, it would hold about 2,000 casks. Over the five warehouses, about 18,500 casks. So this is a traditional storage method called dunnage. The straps, the wooden straps you see between the barrels here, are called duns, and that's why it's called dunnage. And it goes back to when we would be physically lifting the barrels. You don't want to lift them any higher than that. So if you go to the head office for Auchintoshan, which is in the north of Glasgow in Springburn, much bigger complex, they have it palleted 8, 10, 12 high right to the ceiling. So this is just a traditional dunnage warehouse. Okay. So this is the new make spirit here at 63.5.
So it's thinned with water.
So this is after it's been diluted down. And
what's it called? Dilute?
Diluted. How do you say it?
Watered down.
I mean, it's just
watered.
Yeah. So they add water to it to dilute it, to take it down from 81 to 63.5.
So it's better for the cask.
Yes, that's the optimum strength for getting the best out of
it. Is it changing? Does somebody say next year maybe now 65 is better? Or
no, it's been 63.5 for considerable time, so I would doubt if they would change it now. They change other things. The 40% is creeping up in certain, you'll see 43% and 46%.
Yeah.
This has stayed the same at the moment. So this is going to get into the cask. The casks are porous. They have to be porous to have the maturation, which is why they use oak. So the new make spirit must be stored in oak casks in Scotland for a minimum of 3 years, or 3 years in a day, before it can be called single malt Scotch whisky. Okay.
So any other wood wouldn't do, or like ash or wood?
Yeah, a lot of the other woods are too dense.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get the proper maturation. So oak's found to be the best. So it can be either American oak or European oak. So the casks that we use, bourbon casks from America, fine wine casks from France, which are Bordeaux red wine.
Oh yes.
And two types of sherry casks from Spain. So Oloroso sherry and Pedro Jimenez sherry casks from Spain. Both getting towards the richer, sweeter
sherries.
Pedro Jimenez you could put on your ice cream, it's that nice, it's like a raspberry sauce, it's really, really nice. Sherries are not, used to be very popular in Scotland, not as popular now. The sherry growers will make more money selling the casks to the whisky industry than they will from making sherry now. But the new make spirit, but the sherries are lovely, I don't know why, it may come back at some point. But you see, the casks are porous, as I say. They char them on the inside, or toast them on the inside. This opens the pores even further and allows then for the liquid to enter the wood. So when they will enter the wood, casks are porous, so they more or less breathe. So they will exit, the evaporation will exit, and then once that's done, it breathes back in. And what this does, when it's coming out, it draws the liquid into the wood, and then when they're breathing back in, it pushes it back in. And all the time, it will be taking the colour and the flavour from the wood, depending on what it's been used for before, whether it's been bourbon or...
So does that effect sort of wear down if you reuse the cask multiple times?
It wears down even on... They allow for 2% on the first year, and then it goes down slightly after that. So it will be slightly less if you reuse the cask. We can use the casks 3 times. So in America, they can only use the cask once at the moment. We use them 3 times. So if you see a yellow barcode, that's a second fill for us. If it's a white barcode, it's a first fill. Orange barcode's a third fill. After that, they will just sell them off. Some distilleries will rejuvenate the barrels by recharring them, yeah. But Suntory have a strict non-rejuvenation policy, so once they've used them three times, they sell them on. Some breweries will take them to brew their beer. The old traditional thing was that you just cut it in half and it was used as a planter for flowers. Yeah. You've seen plenty of them. But nowadays there's a whole furniture industry out there looking for these. So you'll see bars with them just turned up as tables for you to put your drinks on. If you cut a section down here and out here, you can have your own mini bar, like authentic mini bar. You put the glass in, the glass and the shelves and the lights and things. I've seen another section cut out here, and you've got your bench seats, so you can have your bench seats. So as I say, there's a whole furniture industry out there that will take the barrels, the barrel ends used as clocks, all that kind of thing. So the big ones here I've seen used as dog kennels. So there's just lucky dogs. Dogs. So.
What type of cask is this?
This is a sherry butt. This one here.
It's really big.
And the size?
Yeah, the amounts are over here 480. Sometimes 500 litres for the sherry butts as well. So all the sizes are on there for the different barrels. A hogshead, if you're not sure what a hogshead is, it's just a traditional bourbon barrel that's broken down and they add in extra staves and it just makes it a slightly bigger barrel. So the different barrel sizes can affect the maturation time as well.
That's the lower ones, the hogsheads?
Yeah, the hogsheads in the middle.
In the middle?
Yeah, that's the sherry ones down the bottom.
Okay.
So bourbon at the top. For us to buy about £50 to £80 for the bourbon barrels, £200 to £300 for the fine wine casks, and about £600 to £700 for the big sherry casks.
So isn't it easier for Suntory because they own some companies?
Exactly. They own Jim Beam now in the
in America. They already they
and they own bodegas.
They sell, yes.
Yeah, they own bodegas over in front.
So they can say these casks are for Hochertoschen.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But you know the smaller the cask, the more interaction you have.
Yeah, so you can get quicker
the liquid.
You
can get liquid and the
quicker.
Wood.
You can get quicker maturation from smaller casks. So a new distillery, I would have thought, would have been wiser to put the spirit into the smaller casks if they want a spirit earlier.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to wait considerable time before they have it.
Some even use like octave kind of casks.
Really small. Most of them now are making gin as well. So you'll get distilleries now making whiskey, but they'll make gin first because they can get a quick product onto the table. But most of the distilleries, there's only, I think we're down as low as 2019 independent distilleries. Most of the distilleries are part of a conglomerate, if you like. Diageo have 28 distilleries in Scotland, plus a grain distillery. Okay. Our overall output is 1.5 million litres for the year. That's what we're looking to get. You know, one grain distillery makes 100 million litres a year. There's about 12 in Scotland. But that's making spirit for everything. Vodka, gin. But that's a staggering statistic, I think. 100 million litres. We like more drink, don't we?
I heard there's a limit for cask sizes for maturation. Somebody said 700, somebody said 600.
I think the biggest one's a puncheon, which I think is about 700. You can't make single malt Scotch whisky in anything greater than that. That's the limit, 700. Yep. So, as I say, it then depends what the master blender's decided that he's going to do with the whisky, as to how long it stays in the cask. The oldest one they had at Hochertoschen was, when I started there, was a 50-year-old. So technically, that's the romantic part of the whisky industry, I think, that could stay in here through summer, winter, day and night, for 50 years. It's quite a thought. £5,000 a bottle it sold for.
How much evaporation happens over that?
You'd allow about up for the 50 years.
50 years, yeah.
If you imagine that full, that's probably around about an 8 to 10 year old whisky. And then you're going to, for a 50-year-old, I reckon they got 144 bottles, one they got 177 bottles, which is quite good. So probably just over half. So it's quite a considerable amount you lose, which is why you've less spirit and then you're paying more for it.
So are All these barrels your own, or do you have any independent?
No, everything's Auchentoshan's. Yeah. Everybody quite happy with that. What a single malt Scotch whisky is. Okay, it just means that all the spirit used is from the one distillery.
Yes.
So we can, people get confused because we can blend casks, obviously bourbon casks with sherry casks, with red wine casks, within the distillery. But all the spirit being used is Auchentoshan's. So you can blend casks within the distillery, it's still a single malt Scotch whisky.
You wouldn't call it a single cask then?
No, no. So the other side of the coin, if you blend casks with casks from another distillery, it would become a blended malt.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the difference. So single malt, all the spirit from one distillery. A blended malt tends to be maybe two or four distilleries getting together to make a particular whisky, a blended malt. And blended whisky, generally 60% grain whisky. That's where they use other grains, so it's not just barley. And then they usually put maybe up to 30 or 40 malts on the top of that. If one or two of these distilleries go bust, we're not going to know the difference because they put so many in there, so they can miss one or two. It wouldn't really affect us. Master Blender might know the difference, but we wouldn't. There was a Master Blender the other day, a female Master Blender, and she said, she wasn't that old, but she said she, in her career she'd tasted over 150,000 whiskies.
Sounds like a good job.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like a fantastic job, but they get the mega books. A lot of training. I think they've got a natural nose, obviously, initially to start with, and then with all the training. They could actually, if you give them a whiskey, they would tell you what type of whiskey it was, what age it was, what distillery it came from.
Wow.
They're that good.
That's really
that
difficult.
Good. Yeah.
Where do you marry the casks when you decide to blend them together?
Yeah, they marry them.
Now, where do they do it?
They do this at Springburn.
They don't do it in the north.
Yeah, they do it at Springburn. So they do all the bottling there. So all the casks here would go over there to be bottled and blended together. Yeah.
The casks.
And my
casks. That would be terrible.
I read that the barrels have to be, like, the trees have to be made from at least 80-year-old oaks in order for them to be...
To be ready. Yeah. They play about with that as well.
Yeah.
Like our heartwood and our springwood, they play about. The springwood is the staves are made from the outer part of the tree. The heartwood, the staves are made from the inner part of the tree. So they play about with all that kind of stuff as well. And first, second fill, third fill casks. So if the master blender decides he wants a gentle finish on a whisky, then he might use a third fill cask because the first fill cask is going to give the strongest flavour. Second fill cask will get less. Third fill cask will get less. So he can play about with that as well. I need a stronger finish on this. I'll use a second fill cask. So there's all these things that they can use to make different styles and different tastes of whisky, even within the one distillery. So we can actually walk. We can walk through. We're going to walk through to the other end of the warehouse. So if you stay between the yellow lines and don't wander down between the barrels, please just.
Oh, it says bottle your own. Okay, where can we do that?
So there is a facility there to do that. The people do it. This is the French wine cask here. And you can see the quality compared to the bourbon. So 250 to 80 pounds.
Es folgt ein Mitgliederwerbebeitrag der Redaktion Devil is Evil.
Aber das ist doch überhaupt kein Problem. Ich lade Sie einfach ein dieses Wochenende. Dann glauben Sie mir, ich habe wirklich einen ausgezeichneten Vertrag bei meinem Sender. Der zahlt alles. Kommen Sie einfach mit. Die Yacht steht im Hafen.
Verzeihung, mein Lieber, ich habe das Gefühl, es versucht dich jemand zu erreichen.
Würden Sie mich bitte für einen kurzen Augenblick entschuldigen? Devil is Evil, Rainer Jaguar am Apparat.
Hallo Rainer, hier spricht der Andrew Morgan von der Radio Z. Rainer, ich weiß nicht, ob dir klar ist, aber wenn du weiterhin ein Leben in Saus und Braus führen willst, dann braucht die Radio Z neue Mitglieder. Und ich sage dir noch eins, wenn diese Nico glaubt, es reicht, einmal in die Monat bei der Radio Z anzutanzen und 2 Stunden dumm rumzubabbeln, könnt ihr euch eure Sendung an die Hut stecken War es nämlich bald keine Mischpult und keine Mikro und keine frische Toilettenpapier und was weiß ich alles, ohne die neue Mitglieder mehr geben wird. Oder kannst du mir sagen, wie wir das alles bezahlen sollen, Freundchen?
Entschuldige bitte, wo waren wir stehen geblieben? Ach ja, der Turn. Mauritius. Glaub mir, du wirst Mauritius lieben.
Ist doch egal.
Rollo hat mir zu mir gesagt, kennst du sicher, Rollo Gebhardt. Mauritius war einer der Gründe, warum wir damals überhaupt mit dem Hochsegeln
gekommen sind. Wo bleibt der Shampoos für die Inselrunde?
Und deine Freunde? Ja klar, können wir die mitnehmen.
Radio Z braucht neue Mitglieder. Ich hoffe, das ist jetzt klar, Freundchen.
Ihr hört Lost and Found und wir sind in der Brennerei Ochentoschen in Glasgow unterwegs. Und nach der Führung durch die Brennerei gab es natürlich ein kleines Tasting und die Range der Whiskys von Ochentoschen wurde vorgestellt.
We have a driver's package. What, driver's package? We have a driver's package?
Yes, yes. Okay. You want
that? I'm not sure how much can you drink, 1 gram of it?
No, I wouldn't. You probably could, but I probably wouldn't. I'm an ex-policeman, so probably. I would advise you probably not. It's more or less zero on it. Very, very, okay. Very solid. You could maybe taste.
Yeah.
If you want to do that. And then I could put it in the bottle and smell, yeah.
He's a 12-year-old.
When did you leave the police force?
30 years, about 9, 10 years in March.
Yeah.
Retired 10 years in March.
Yeah.
So I spent 30 years dealing with the effects of people drinking whiskey and how I actively encourage people to drink. This whiskey is the American Oak. Which is about 7 years old and its first fill bourbon. Everybody got a whiskey? So it's first fill bourbon, so it's quite a good introduction to whiskey. It's quite citrusy, quite fresh. Good introduction to whiskey in general as well as Ochentoshan. It's, they call it a breakfast whiskey, so you should find it very easy to drink. Can I not suggest you take it for breakfast, they just mean it's nice and easy to drink. On the core range there, you'll see the bottles, the casks are on the bottles, or there's barrels on the bottles. That will let you know how many casks have been used in the making of that particular whiskey. So the 12-year-old has two casks. It's what they call a married whiskey. So it's 12-year-old bourbon casks, 12-year-old Oloroso sherry casks, and then they will marry them. The three wood is slightly different. It goes 10 years in bourbon casks, then they move all the spirit into Oloroso sherry casks for about a year to 14 months, and then they move all the spirit again into Pedro Jimenez sherry casks for about a year to 14 months. So it's a different style of whiskey. It becomes very rich and very sweet, so you'll get dark chocolate, raisins, Christmas cake in a glass, they call this one. It's an after-dinner whiskey, I would say. A breakfast whiskey, after-dinner whiskey. It won an award for being the best whiskey to match Cuban cigars, Bolivar y Mensa. So if you like your cigars, that's maybe the whiskey to go for. The 18-year-old is the big brother of the American Oak. So it's first fill and second fill bourbon casks with a very, very slight sherry influence on that as well. What age will do? Age will develop the flavours. So on the American Oak you'll get vanilla, that kind of thing. And if you go to the 18-year-old, it will move on to toffees, caramel. So you'll get more developed flavours with age. The 21-year-old is the big brother of the 12-year-old. So it's 21-year-old bourbon casks, 21-year-old Oloroso sherry casks. And then they marry them together. So that's the style for the core range.
Is there something like a distillery exclusive straight from the cask? Or?
Yeah, you can get the distillery cask. So you can get cask strength whiskey. It's 58.9. It's just about a 10-year-old Oloroso sherry cask that they're using at the moment. 58.9, and you'll get warm toffee flavours right away from it. Much fuller flavours because it's right out of the wood. The other one that it's not released as a distillery exclusive, it's the bartender's malt that you might see down there. It's a competition they organised, sent to bartenders around the world to suggest what they thought should be in a whiskey, both for
mixing with cocktails and to stand up as a single malt in its own right. The winners of the competition came to meet the master blender and they spent a week with him putting the whisky together. This is the second edition. The first edition, I think they gave them too much of a range. I think they had 12 casks to play with. It didn't really work, I don't think. And this one, they reduced it down to 6 casks, made a much better whisky. Yeah. It's not a distillery exclusive, but I can't see it online, and I've not seen it in any specialist whisky shops. So I maybe just made enough to sell at Auchentoshan. So, you know, as I've said, I've not seen it online, and I've not seen it in any of the whisky shops. So I think they've maybe only made enough bottles to sell it at the distillery. So the master, it's not down as a distillery exclusive, but more or less as I would say.
We were at the pot still yesterday night. We drank a 21-year-old Old Particular Auchentoshan.
Can I ask the difference between the cask strength and the whiskies that come in the bottle?
Yeah, the cask strength is it's not diluted down. So that's the strength that you get from the cask. So you lose a small amount. And it's 63.5. This one's 58.9. Last one was 59. Point something. The one was 61, so you'll only lose a little bit in strength a lot of the time. So it's more or less the full strength from the cask that you're getting. The cocktail is called an Ochi Nail or an Auchentoshan and Ale. So it's lemon juice, a little bit of the American oak whiskey, sugar syrup, and then it's topped up with an IPA ale, an India pale ale from the Drygate Brewery in Glasgow.
Do you sell the ale as well?
Not too. No. Well, they would sell it, but you'll get it cheaper in the supermarket. They sell it for about £3 here. Yeah, it's about £1.50 in the supermarket.
I think that's interesting because Auchentoshan is one of the distilleries where they are not afraid of make cocktails with our whiskey, even if it's a single malt.
So your philosophy is anything goes that's fun and tastes.
And it introduces people to whiskey. So some people might start off taking the cocktails and then think, what's that whiskey that's in there? I'm going to try that. I mean, they're using Auchentoshan now in New York bars in New York. You know, they're using. So we're getting information that they're using them all over the world. So.
And you do a bartender's mall, that's for sure, they don't drink it.
Exactly. That's maybe part of the thinking, do the competition, get the bartenders interested, and then they're going to use it. Sorry, thank you very much, thank you. Everybody got a cocktail, yeah? So, there's a toast in Scotland, a lot of the time you're doing when you're drinking whiskey at a function. Does everybody know the toast in Scotland?
No.
Okay, it's... It's get it down your neck. No, it's not. It's slangibar. So slangibar means good health and good life. Okay. And whiskey came from uskivar. Uskivar was water of life or aqua vitae. And uskivar got shortened down to usky. And then usky became whisky. So that's what it is.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Good
Soweit die Führung durch die Destille Auchentoshan bei Glasgow in Schottland. Wie schon erwähnt anfangs, die Destille ist mit dem Bus von der Stadt aus prima zu erreichen, sind dann nur noch wenige hundert Meter von der Bushaltestelle bis direkt in die Brennerei. Im Internet findet ihr sie unter auchentoshan.com und der Besitzer, wie gesagt, ist Beam Suntory. Da könnt ihr einfach mal danach suchen im Web, wenn ihr wollt.